So I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her.
Shall we pray? Our Father, both in word and song, we've welcomed you among us. May we just pause to recognize that you welcome us into your presence. Thank you, that welcome is so large. However we come this morning, we thank you for your presence among us. And even as we've just read of a young woman who so long ago said yes to you, Father, I pray that there will be many hearts this morning that say yes to your word. Please would you be with preacher and with people by the moving of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you so much, Phil and Linda. So warm welcome to everyone, those watching online and here in person. Do you know whose birthday it is today? It's our birthday. It's the church birthday. This is Pentecost Sunday. Isn't that great? You know, we sometimes might think, oh, how old's the building? I tell you what, the building's not the birthday of the church. The church began that first Pentecost Sunday as the Spirit was poured out, and it's often called the birthday of the church. And as this morning we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, I want us to see that there is a connection between the birth of Jesus and the birth of the church. There's so many similarities in what happened. And so, happy birthday, church. It's really wonderful, isn't it? As you have a kind of birthday, you look back over the year and you think what God's done. You know, this past year across the world, millions have given their life to Jesus Christ. I've been trying to do some research, and it's just so hard to gauge how many. It's somewhere like maybe between 20 million and 100 million people have turned to Christ this kind of each year. It's just staggering, you know. We've been hearing stories during our World Week of just some of the amazing way that we've had a privilege through our giving of and our praying and our sending of mission partners to see God at work in the poorest of the poor and places where there's no church, as the gospel kind of starts spreading and taking root. And amongst our persecuted brothers and sisters, yeah, I remember that piece of toilet paper as we heard stories of North Korean labor camps and people holding on to God's word, so precious in their heart. God is doing something extraordinary around our world. And people, as they believe in him, come to put their trust in Jesus and on his word. And all through church history, the church has tried to say, look, these are some of the really key things that are important to believe. As you read the Bible, you see these things so clearly. And they came up with what was called creeds or creedal statements from the word believe. If you like, if you remember back to the beginning of our series on the creed, and Amanda had a kind of giant Jenga and talked about the foundations of the faith. And we've got to get clear our foundation. So we've been thinking about some lines from the creed over recent weeks. Here we have it up on the screen. Why don't we just say together these first two bits if you feel able. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. That's where we've kind of got up to. And last week, we began to look at this next statement about this Jesus, our Lord. And it goes on and says this, who was conceived, yeah, you can say it along with me, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Just pause there. Jesus' birth is one of the most remarkable, wonderful, as we were thinking last week, the incarnation, God becoming flesh, becoming a man. And we often just think about it at Christmas. But it's not just for Christmas. This is a thing that happened in our world, which has impacted people everywhere, impacted so many of our lives greatly. I remember watching a film about it. I love watching it at Christmas time, but I remember first time I watched it, I don't think it was around Christmas time. It came to the cinemas, and a bunch of us went to watch the Nativity story at the cinema. And it portrayed the kind of the story of Mary and Joseph and the angel coming. And I remember as I watched this film, and Mary kind of talks about, feeling like she's nobody. You know, why did God choose me? She says to Elizabeth, you know, I'm a nothing. And I remember watching that film, and at a time in my life when I just felt very ordinary and felt like, God, I don't think I can do the things you're calling me to do. I sense you at work by your spirit, as it were, kind of blowing me, breathing on me, wanting me to kind of, as it were, step out. We sometimes sing that song, don't we? You know, calls me out upon the waters and thinking, God, I can't do that. And I remember reading and watching this story about the birth of Christ and about Mary and Joseph. And I remember so much of it resonated with my own heart. I think part of it was I found myself having faith again that God wants to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. You know, at the birth of Christ, God was doing extraordinary things by the power of his spirit through ordinary people. And at the birth of the church, on that first Pentecost Sunday, God was doing extraordinary things by the power of his spirit through ordinary people. And in both of those things, what was happening was that the invisible God was being made visible in the person and body of Christ. That Jesus Christ would be known. The church around the world now is called the body of Christ. It's the place where we can see Christ at work in our world. And that first kind of Christmas, as the angel came to Mary, the birth of Jesus was this one who was the most kind of wonderfully ordinary human. He was flesh and blood. He was born in a stable. He was kind of ordinary. He was fully man, the creed says, but he was fully God. He was extraordinary, as we're going to see in our message today. So I want to think this morning first about the ordinary people who God chooses to work through. And then I want to think about the extraordinary power of the Spirit. So let's dive into Luke chapter 1. And verse 26, you'll probably know it well from carol services and things like that. But I noticed some things this week that I've never noticed before in this passage. You know, the angel gets sent first to a place in verse 26. Do you see it there? He gets sent to Nazareth. I kind of knew that. Do you know when Nazareth is a kind of nowhere place in that region? It was kind of in the middle of nowhere. In fact, later in the Gospels, it says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was very, very, very ordinary. And then we read in verse 27 that this angel's not just coming to a place, this angel's coming to a person. And what is the first thing we find out about this person? Anyone? If you've got your Bible in front of you, you might want to turn to 27, and we read this, that the angel was sent to a virgin. Before we know her name, before we know anything else about her, who she's kind of pledged to be married to, that's coming later, we hear that she was a virgin. This is the very thing that she was going to think made it impossible for her to do the things that God was asking her to do. And yet, that's the very thing that she thought discounted her was the thing that God wanted to use. And you know, so often in our lives, the very things that we think rule us out are the very things that God says, there's someone. There's someone, not just ordinary, but almost who would think this is impossible, that God wants to work through. You see, God has a word for this virgin maiden, Mary. And as you read in Luke 1 verses kind of 30 to 33, it is an amazing word. Look with me. He says this, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you were to give him the name Jesus, that name that's being sung about all over the world today. The name that gives hope. The name that this creed is, at this point we're trying to look at, all about. This Jesus who, it goes on and says this, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He had a kind of human ancestry, but not like any other human. This one here, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Here in this one Jesus is something very ordinary. Born with flesh and blood. Someone who would get tired. Someone who would be hungry and thirsty, someone who, like you and me, when they get hit, they would bleed and bruise, someone who would grieve at the loss of their friends, someone very ordinary, and yet this one was extraordinary. This one was the one who was going to be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, this one who was going to be the eternal King whose reign would go on forever and ever, this one who was born of a virgin. And that seems to be the bit that Mary struggles with. She doesn't kind of go back and say, what, a king forever? That sounds amazing, but how can that be? She doesn't go and say, what, a son of God come to earth? That sounds amazing. And so often I can relate to that. We're kind of okay with God doing amazing things, but just struggle sometimes to think it could be around us or with us or through us. And Mary says, how can this be? Verse 34. How can this be? She says, since I am a virgin. Something doesn't add up here. It's like she's kind of saying, hey, let's just be clear here, because you're saying something and it doesn't seem to fit. You know, the word of God and her experience don't match. Do you ever find that? The word of God and her ability don't seem to be compatible. The promise of God and her past don't seem to fit and make sense. But that's the whole point. That is the whole point. God was going to do a miracle. And this was not ultimately going to be a work of man. This is a work of God through an ordinary person, through Mary. You know, I find in my life, and as I think about others and churches, you know, I often say to people when they arrive at the church, we're not a perfect church. Look around. I mean, it's a wonder. I love this church. So many fantastic people, but we're also very ordinary. We got our struggles. We got the things that we wrestle with. And I find so often, I think God's word says this, And I find myself, like Mary, kind of going, how will this be? God, how are you going to transform the life of my friend through maybe my prayers or things I say? How are you going to change our city? Lord, how are you going to do this? You know, we sometimes think, you know, I can't do that, or I'm not ready, or I'm not good enough, or it's not a good time, Lord. It doesn't fit with what's going on for me right now. But that is the whole point. Brothers and sisters, don't rule yourself out. The whole point is it's about what God wants to do, about His power, not our power. The extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit through working through ordinary people like you and me. So do you want to just turn to a neighbor and just say to them, don't rule yourself out. Just say to that, someone near you, don't rule yourself out. Okay? Could be you that God wants to do something amazing through. In fact, what we see in the scriptures, what we see at Pentecost, is through us that God wants to do something amazing. So that's where I want to now look, because we see what the angel Gabriel goes on to say in verse 35. In this is what he answers Mary. When she says, how will this be? The angel answers this: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is the extraordinary power that is at work in our world and in people's lives. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, He's the third person of the Trinity. We were singing about Him just before we had the reading. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. That's the Trinity. And the Creed actually goes through and says, I believe in the Father. And it talks about the Father. And then it has, I believe in the Son. And it talks about, you know, Jesus. And we're in that kind of section now. And then it actually says later, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that we're first introduced to the Spirit actually in the bit about Jesus. Because the Spirit loves to point to Jesus. The Spirit loves to help people see Jesus. The Spirit loves to help you and I follow Jesus. The Spirit loves to help us become like Jesus. And it's really important as we think about this extraordinary power that we remember that the Spirit is a person. Bruce Milne, who's written a great book on theology, says this: the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force or power, but a divine person. And we're going to think later on in this series on the Creed more about the Spirit. But what I want us to see as we look today at the way that the Spirit was at work in the birth of Jesus and the birth of the church, this extraordinary power at work in ordinary people, I want us to see that you can't get away when you're looking at the Holy Spirit. This word keeps coming back, and it's the word power. You see, it was there at Jesus' kind of birth and this announcement from the angel. It was there as Jesus was kind of baptized, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended in above. It was like He was marked by the Holy Spirit. And there's something that happens as we're baptized which kind of marks what's been happening already in our lives. And then it actually says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we read this. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And then later on, he picks up the scroll of Isaiah and he reads this. He reads, Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And that is what Jesus does. He goes through the Gospels, read them if you've never read them, and He's setting people free. He's bringing sight to the blind. He's helping people in a very kind of ordinary way of having meals with them and talking to them and kind of catching up with them around a well or a kind of in a home. And yet He's doing extraordinary things as well. He's doing miracles. He's kind of setting people free from the things that hold them, but He's also doing this amazing thing of He's living like no one's lived with the way God wants us to live. He's living a life of love. I think as I read the Gospels, that's one of the things that draws me most about Jesus. He lives this life of love, of compassion, of peace. A life which is remarkable, the first time we've ever seen a life lived as it's meant to have been lived. But the remarkable thing as we see Jesus, this one who's fully man, yet fully God, living out his life. He then gets towards the end of his ministry. He dies, as we're going to hear more later. He rises again. And then he meets with people. And he says to his disciples, he says to them this in the end of Luke 24. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city. And then read this bit until you, read this with me, you have been clothed with power from on high. He promises that his disciples, you and I, would be those that have this power that was clothed on him. And he actually, just before he ascends into heaven, he says this in Acts 1:8. He says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that's what happens that first Pentecost Sunday. I love this little, in Alpha, we have a great course about place you can ask your questions about faith, and there's one of them on the Holy Spirit, and it has this little 30 seconds about that day of Pentecost. So if we can just show that now, Mike, that would be great.
And so they waited and waited. It's like a champagne bottle has been shaken and shaken, and then finally on the day of Pentecost the cork flies off. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Something amazing and supernatural happened on that day. Extraordinary power at work in ordinary people. Like that something amazing and supernatural that happened as the angel came to Mary again at the birth of Christ. Extraordinary power at work in ordinary people. And brothers and sisters, I believe that extraordinary power, the work of the Holy Spirit, continues now all across the world. That work that happened first on that Pentecost Sunday, that first Pentecost Sunday, has spread and touched men and women, young and old, all over our world. I believe God wants to do more through us than you and I could ever imagine. I did a prayer walk with Michael just last Sunday. A few of us got some training on prayer walking, and Michael and I were just walking around one of these streets. I've walked around it many times, just Brunswick Street above Brunswick Square, and I looked up it, and I just found myself seeing it in a whole fresh way. I imagined people praising God and it's spilling out of their windows and homes, not just a few. You know, when we go carol singing around there, people kind of lift up the window and say thanks and give a clap, or, you know, maybe say, you know, a cheer. And this was like the whole kind of street erupting in praise. And I thought, God, you can do this. In fact, in Jerusalem, when the sort of the weeks after Pentecost, the authorities met and they said, what are we going to do with these people? All of Jerusalem has been filled with their teaching. It's like God had transformed the city. And you know, brothers and sisters, I've been reading this week just more about what God's done in missions. I picked up one of my brother Yun books. He wrote Heavenly Man. This is a book called Living Water. And in it, he describes this wonderful thing. Look at what it just says here. I'll read it just to you. He says, if you are willing to receive the Holy Spirit into your life, I am confident you will see mighty things from our great God, even if you feel old and your Christian life seems dry and barren. I am sure that God wants to indwell and empower you, because I have seen this occur in my own life and I've seen it happen throughout my nation. In the last few decades, as many as 100 million people in China have started to follow Jesus Christ. And he describes how in the 1950s, the persecution was such that it was like the church had been obliterated in China. And then he describes how in like the 60s and 70s, God just is at work by his spirit. Faith is rising. God is stirring things. And then it grows and grows. And kind of just over 50 years later, the nation's transformed. There's revival in China. And I'm thinking, God, you can do that here. You can do that here. But it needs us to be those who are saying, God, would you come fill me afresh? It needs us to be those who, like Phil's word to us earlier, are saying, God, I want to be given over to you. It needs us to be those who say, yeah, Jesus is this one. He is like no other. He is the Lord, the King, as the angel said. It needs us to be willing to respond like Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. He ended it like this, and I'm just going to come down and invite Tim and the band just to come up. But This is what the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, God was doing all this stuff. And Peter said, look, you know, he spoke about Jesus. He spoke about how wonderful he is. And he said to them when they said, well, what must we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Because for the Holy Spirit to come in, we need to be cleansed. And there's nothing that can cleanse us like the power of Jesus Christ who died for you and me. And then he says this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call. Guys, when he spoke that, we were far off in time and in distance. And yet it's a promise for us too. So I invite you this morning, come again to King Jesus. Come again and repent and believe in him. Baptism is a sign of that. We're going to have baptisms a bit later in our service. But you know, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit today, he wants to come and fill you. He loves to work in our world through ordinary people in extraordinary power. So if you're able, I'm just going to invite you to stand with me, and maybe you might want to just hold your hands out. If you're not able to stand, don't worry, just where you are in your pew, you might just want to do this. And I'm just going to simply pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe things that the Spirit as he comes just stirs in your heart that you need to get right. Why not just say, sorry, God? Lord, we're sorry for the wrong things we've done. Cleanse our hearts. We repent. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent and turn to you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life, in our lives. Why not just echo that in your heart? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And like Phil prayed over us, that we would be a given people. Why not just say, Jesus, I, with Mary, just say, I am your servant. Your will be done in my life. Come, Holy Spirit. We're just going to continue in worship, expressing our heart for more of God and his Spirit. And as we worship him, if there's particular thing you would like prayer for, maybe even just for someone to lay hands on you. Often in the book of Acts, we see as people laid hands on them, God just moved powerfully by his spirit. And I'm just going to invite the prayer team, and even wondering, Phil and Linda, whether you could join them. They'll be in the connections area in here. If you would like someone to pray for you, just to lay hands on you and to pray for that fresh touch, or even for the first time, then please do come and meet with them. And let's continue to worship as we press in to the presence of God together. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray.